And then you went to Netherlands?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah. DX was on that label as well, strangely enough. They were on the Ron Johnson label, who was putting out all that stuff. They were the only Dutch band on it. And I was also surprised when I saw this band that was on it. And I bought a couple of their records, and at first I didn't really like it. To me, it sounded a bit punky. It was the Spanish Revolution single, and it didn't. When I first heard it, I thought, it's okay, it's not. But when I saw them live, then I thought, wow, this is actually an amazing band. And it was really one of these bands you have to see them live to really get it.
Yeah,
and then
also
then I went back and checked out more of their records, and actually they'd made amazing records for years. And that was how I discovered them, a bit through that label.
Did something change in your approach to playing guitar when you moved to Netherlands to DX?
It wasn't like a radical change. I think the change happened earlier when I was in Dogface Hermans. When we first started playing, I was playing quite sort of simple melodies, and then actually I went to see, after seeing Big Flame, the guitar player in Big Flame really had an impact on me when I saw him play, and also John Robb from the Membranes, because he had this band called the Membranes, and just the energy that they put into it. And they were also like quite ramshackle, and they weren't paying so much attention, like being super careful how they play. And then I think one of the biggest influences was seeing Sonic Youth. That really had a big, I saw them in Glasgow when they were doing, just before they were doing the Evil, and these guys putting guitars, drumsticks in their guitar, and for me that was really like, wow, you're allowed to do that. So immediately I went to the kitchen and tried to put stuff in, and came to the practice room and said, okay, let's try something with this. And everyone was like, yeah, okay, Andy. And it's like, and at first it didn't, but I didn't want to do it just for a gimmick. I wanted to try and make something musical from it. So slowly I found ways of doing it. And it was kind of difficult at first, but it was really fun, wasn't it? And it just felt really exciting to me to do stuff like that.
Because musicians usually stop at learning chords or notes if they are going in the traditional way, but you should always research your instrument.
And you do it your whole life. For me, I don't need to play any other instrument. There's still so much that I have to learn from this one instrument. And it's not just learning as in technique about a virtuoso playing well. It's really about finding sounds and finding ways of playing that instrument that make it exciting for me, and also that I hear something new. And it's endless. This thing that you've playing many, many instruments so that you have more variety. I think I get all the variety that I can from playing the guitar. That's really enough for me. And I've still got a long way to go.
And how in the X, how are you making songs? Do they have some structures, of course, but you also have parts for the improvisations, do you decide where to, or you go just with the feeling and put it on the concert where?
No, it's the X. I mean, the songs, when we make the songs, there is quite a bit of improvisation happening,
because
they grow out of. You could say that improvisation is the kind of creative source of the music. The songs grow out of ideas that we throw into a pot, and slowly they form. But once we're once we've developed them, they're very structured. There's very much like free improvisation in the X. There are moments of where we say, okay, you can do this bit. Let's do this bit free. But it's also quite set. But basically, we're really interested in making shape and dynamic in the songs, and we also need the audience for that. So we build these songs in the rehearsal room, record and listen, and at a certain point we say, okay, we have to do this live to really figure out how it's going to work. And actually, for me, that's, the song is only half written before we start playing it live, and then then we have to learn how to play it also. Because we sometimes we make a song and we can't really play it yet. It's like we have the idea and we have the intention, but we haven't really figured out how to play it in a way that we can communicate really what we want to with the audience. And that takes... it depends on the song. Sometimes it happens instantly. In two or three concerts, we have... the song is really going. Sometimes it takes 2 years for the song to really find its place. The sound has to lock into place, the rhythms. We slightly change things. Like after we've played the songs for a few times, we think, this just doesn't work. This bit's... it's not... you can really feel it when it doesn't work. And then slowly... I mean, that's a kind of instinctive thing, and it's a musical thing. And slowly the songs... what's it called? Metamorphosize. And they met, in a way, the audience is involved in that, even though they're not directly, they don't decide, but we're really working with the audience in that, and how it feels to send that music out. And then after like a while, they also, the songs also go, they die, and we, okay, now we have to, and it's been like that actually for 20-30 years.
When is the time to record it?
Usually after we've played it for a year or so, because a couple of times we've recorded songs early, and usually you hear it. Like I said, we haven't really learned how to play them. You can write a song, but you have to learn how to play it, and that can take time. So I prefer to play the songs for a while live, and so we wait for a year and until they're kind of refined, and then we record it. It's, for me, it's the least interesting aspect of the whole thing is... recording the songs, but we're not really a studio band, so we do it a bit the way it is live. We're not doing big productions or anything, and we do it because that's what bands do. They have to make records.
Yeah, it's a way to communicate with the organizers of the concerts.
Yeah, and some people want the records. They really, you know, they can't come to the gigs.
Yeah.
But I mean, I always say that if you have 10 euros to spend, it's better to buy a ticket and go and see the X live instead of buy a CD, because it's really a different thing. And that was my experience of the X when I first saw it. That I thought, this is a live.
My first experience when I saw you at Metelkova, you played with the Zoo. It was totally for me. It blew me away, really.
And you can never ever get that on a record. I mean, maybe you could turn the record up really loud and shut your eyes, but I think it's live music. When we're in the rehearsal room making the music, we're thinking of the live concert. We're not thinking of the song and of making the song for the record. We're not writing songs for the new record. We're writing songs for the new set to play live.
Because I think that when you're making the recording the record, it is the different things matters, because on the stage is the energy, which is the most important. But when you're recording, what are you looking when you are hearing the material and choosing what works, what not? Because it's a different process.
It is different, but we tend to just record the songs that we've been playing live. We don't, unless we decide. I mean, a couple of times we've done studio projects. There's a couple of records that are really like studio projects. Also, the last Kitachi record, that we really built that in the studio and we edited it. And there's a record called Instant and Joggers and Smoggers where we invited guests, and the songs were made in the studio and improvised. But most of the records are basically registrations of the songs the way we play them live. And so when you see the band live, what you hear is actually quite similar to what's on the record, but the sound is usually way better live, and you have the live performance. So, and it's always been like that with the X. I don't think that's the only I mean, I do other projects where they're completely studio based and they're really to do with sculpting sound and working for hours on one bit of something, but that's not what we do in the X at all. And, you know, maybe at some point we might do it, but that's not mostly that's not how we work.
Because you want to take the energy to the record.
In a way, and also that's almost impossible to do anyway.
Yeah,
and we know that. So basically we want to play the songs and just communicate our songs through this medium that we are forced to, which is a CD or an LP, or you know, it's in a way it's not ideal at all. It's not. It's what there is. I mean,
the X is an open band, and it has a lot of collaborations with other musicians. And how does it influence to the what is the influence of the guests to the creative process?
The influence of the guests.
Yeah. Does change something in the when you're creating?
Yeah, it depends on the project. Mm-hmm. There's some projects where we've had guests and we've created the music together. Like, in, you know, we made the songs together with the guest, like with Tom Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like whenever you add another element, it changes everything. It changes the whole dynamic between the people. It changes the way each one of us plays. His influence about how he wants to construct songs and melodies is, and we let that in and we find a way, like, we bump into each other and eventually we find it. And then the other way we do it is that we already have the song created and we present it to guests, and we ask them, sometimes we say, can you play this part here, double up this guitar part, and other parts we say, find something yourself. Like what we just did now with Ken and Nate on this project is, Nate Woolley never played with us before.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent him the CDs of the songs that we're going to play, and we got together in Prague for 2 hours and rehearsed.
Mm-hmm.
And just said, okay, these parts, we're always open to it. We say, it would be nice if you sort of doubled up and played along, and here you play free, and here and Nate has just found his way.
Mm.
And that's really, it's not a jam, and it's not like a chaos, but we really choose musicians that we trust will really use their ears.
Mm-hmm.
They know how we work. It's not so important that it's all melodically correct. It's much more important that the dynamic and the sound and the form is strong. And that's why we choose people like Ken and Nate, because they're totally sensitive to that. They feel that aspect of it. They know what works and how the dynamics work in the X. They know the music. So that's really important, who you choose to. It's not just like invite any musician just because they're famous or because it's cool or something. You have to really choose the right element. Otherwise it can be a disaster.
Yeah.
As you must have heard sometimes.
I have experienced it also. Yeah. It's did it happen that some of the guests did, because I did with band 6 hours,
yeah.
6 hour improvisational concert, and we had every half an hour we have changed a guest, and after that concert it happened to us that our creative process was so influenced by other people that we needed a couple of months to find back our way. Did that happen to you?
No, I mean the project that you talk about, though, that's really, really intense and extreme.
Mm.
So I can imagine something like that would happen.
Mm.
that hasn't happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're conscious of that.
It's getting even louder.
It's nice. Of course we're influenced, but I think it's really much better when each musician keeps their identity. And we also make sure that the musicians that we invite have freedom to express their own identity within the context. So the music changes rather than all the people suddenly playing completely differently because they feel obliged to or something. So I haven't experienced the thing. We haven't done this thing of improvising like that.
Mm.
Also with many different musicians at once. It's,
yeah, it's a strong experience.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, this is. It's a melody, yes. A repetition.
Yeah.